Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
If you're feeling anxious about your investments with all the economic volatility and chaos in Washington, tune in to Super Talk Jackson on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. and Sundays from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for Element Wealth Radio with Jeremy Nelson. Learn more at myelementwealth.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, welcome in on this Sunday night to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you guys being here. It is portal season. It is wild. It is chaotic. And so far, it has been very good to Ole Miss. So we're going to talk about that tonight. I've got a list here. Ole Miss got a trio of players in the transfer portal. Ole Miss got a handful of visits as well. They're getting a bunch more. This thing will never stop. Also, we got some news on the bowl game front, and also for next year, Ole Miss had a player declare for the draft. A not surprising announcement at all, but yet there was momentum trending in the opposite direction. And also, Walter Nolan going to play in the bowl game. I know about the backloaded contracts thing. I understand that. But with the money that he is set to receive, him playing in the bowl game is certainly noteworthy. So we'll talk about all that and get to your comments on this edition of the Rebel Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. I appreciate you guys being here. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment, and wherever you get your podcast. If you have not subscribed to this one already, you're making a mistake. Pull out your phone, your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. In this edition, in every edition of the Rebel Report, is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory is his name. He's in Fulton, Mississippi, but if you're in this state, he can take care of you. If you're a small business owner and you need legal advice, or if you're just a small business owner and you want to know where to go if something comes up, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799 is his phone number. Also, personal injury. If you've been personally injured, don't wait another second. Call DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. Also, contract disputes if you're involved in one of those as well. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. The Gregory Law Firm, bringing you every edition of the Rebel Report. So, since we last talked, Ole Miss has added three players in the transfer portal, two of which from Arkansas, which means that they have added three total players from Arkansas. And if you guys want to have some fun and you know, just kind of get some enjoyment on the internet, find your way over to an Arkansas message board right about now. They are not handling the Lane Kiffin taking their players thing particularly well. And I understand that as a fan, I'm sure that would be frustrating. Like in their shoes, I understand exactly where that frustration is coming from. But Arkansas, they've almost punted football for a couple of years now. When you have a lifeless, unexciting program, your good players don't want to play for it. I don't know why that's such a hard concept to understand, but anyway. So Ole Miss now has six players in the transfer portal currently. The number one portal class. It is very, very young, very new. They have to keep adding, of course, and adding quality if they want to maintain that ranking. But at the moment, 1 week into the transfer portal, Ole Miss is at the very top of the rankings. So let's talk about him. Jalen Braxton, the defensive back from the aforementioned Arkansas, got hurt. He started in each of their first two games and got hurt, I think, in game two. Was a 2023 freshman All-SEC player at defensive back. Ole Miss needs, we've talked about it before, Ole Miss needs secondary help in the worst way. They're losing a lot of bodies in the back end of their defense. And to be honest with you, I think that they could get better there. Now, again, I know Washington and Saunders, that they had like good seasons. Trey Amos had good seasons. I think that Ole Miss could overall, Amos was exceptional. I think Ole Miss overall could get better and deeper in the secondary than they were this season, especially when, even if they're going to be very good again on the defensive line, I don't think you're going to be as truly dominant as they were this season. I could be wrong, but it's just hard to maintain that level of dominance that they had this year. They can still be very, very good, just not that good. And I think defensive line play at times masked possibly some issues in the secondary, especially once guys started getting banged up. They need players like this. Obviously, an SEC player, freshman of the year on the all-freshman team, I should say, in 2023. They need players like this, SEC body, experienced, great pickup for Ole Miss there. The other Arkansas player that we have yet to talk about is the tight end Luke Haz. He's 6'3", 241, obviously from Arkansas as well. Experienced SEC tight end, of course. And what Ole Miss was able to do when Priestcorn and Wright were both healthy, and now Priestcorn spent a long time playing and playing kind of badly injured, if we're being honest, this season. He's tough. For whatever it's worth, and it's worth basically nothing, I gained a lot of respect for Caden Priestcorn playing through a pretty significant injury and still suiting it up every week. Having a guy like Daquan Wright returning, which at the moment is the expectation, paired with him, an experienced SEC tight end, you can go back to running two tight end sets. That offense is so much better when they are utilizing, when they actually use their tight ends. And with Haz on board with Wright already there, you've got a duo of experienced, really capable tight ends. And what a weapon the two of them can be if they remember that they actually have tight ends every game instead of just a handful this year. And then finally, their third pickup is one that, you know, everybody should have seen coming, I guess. Prince Will Umanmielen, the Nebraska transfer. Yes, the brother of Princely. I think he's got two other brothers also who have Prince in their first name. Love that. But he's 6'5", 245, looks very similar in build to his brother. Not as productive as his brother has been. I know that there are a lot of people that really talk about his physical and his upside, his ceiling. And that is the second defensive linemen that Ole Miss has picked up that have like the physical tools, the really high ceiling that they haven't come close to meeting yet. But more importantly, you've already seen this defensive staff take guys that maybe hadn't hit their ceilings yet, really talented guys at other places that came to Ole Miss and became really high quality players, possible, you know, first round picks, or at least super productive, gonna be surefire NFL guys. And Prince Will is probably another one of those. And I think it says a lot about Ole Miss as well that, you know, the family and the brother saw Princely's experience at Ole Miss even in just 1 year and have bought into that process to where they're, you know, where he's following in his brother's footsteps. And the parents are, you know, comfortable with a second son playing for that same staff following their first one. I think that speaks to Pete Golding and Randall Joyner and the staff there and Lane Kiffin, of course, being at the top of the program, but them sending another son to Ole Miss to follow their first one, that's obviously a very encouraging sign, because Prince Will, with his athletic ability and his experience, could have gone to a lot of places, and a lot of places wanted him, choosing to go to Ole Miss despite what would have been, I assume, a flurry of offers elsewhere. Should make you, the Ole Miss fan, feel really good about how people experience Ole Miss. And so that is your three commitments for right now. Obviously, it's the sidebar storyline is, you know, just taking players from Arkansas. The thumbnail, I mean, the AI image thing has cracked me up so bad. I'm so glad that I have been pointed in that direction. I've had so much fun with it. But Chris Paul's experience at Ole Miss, I assume, has helped. Three of his former teammates have all come to Ole Miss. I mean, there's a possibility of more, I suppose, but you have something that you can pitch to other recruits, and it's already happening with Princely's brother and these former Arkansas players, that you have had guys as one-year rentals come in, buy in, perform at a high level, improve their draft standing, and send them off to the NFL better than when they got in just a year ago. That's got to be on top of everything else. Of course, the NIL and stuff that comes with portal recruiting, it's got to be a pretty easy sales pitch for the defensive staff at Ole Miss right now is, hey, and we'll get to linebacker in a second. Hey, you know, you're a linebacker, just had a linebacker come in 1 year, played the best he has in his career and got a draft grade that's considerably higher than the one that he had 12 months ago. That happened at Ole Miss. Walter Nolan, same thing. There was a lot of narrative about Walter Nolan. He comes to Ole Miss, plays 12 phenomenal football games, played banged up and still produced at a high level, and now he's probably going to be a first-round pick. Easy sales pitch for Ole Miss right now, and so far in the portal, it's paying off. They've had a bunch of visitors as well. They've got a couple upcoming as well. You've got Justice Haynes, the running back from Alabama. Now he's going to be highly sought after. I know Ole Miss just had the ULM running back in for a visit as well. So there's kind of a wait and see here on that. But Justice Haynes, at least according to Matt Zenitz, is expected to visit Ole Miss this week. Obviously, you have SEC film on him. He's a big-bodied running back. And I know they had a big-bodied running back last year that they did not play. The Amos, the Miami of Ohio transfer, but Justice Haynes is an SEC back with the size, as is. Don't forget about Logan Diggs. If he's 100% healthy, which you would assume by now that he is, and if he's back to, similar to his old self, adding a guy like Haynes with his size and Diggs with his size, you look much better and more physical at the running back position if they can pull that off. We'll see if they actually can pull that off. Also, another visit incoming to Ole Miss this week is Charles Brantley, the defensive back from Michigan State. That visit's supposed to start tomorrow. So as most of you, the overwhelming majority of you are listening to this, that visit is happening today. He is a veteran defensive back in the Big Ten. He's played a lot of college football in his career. And again, as we said before, Ole Miss needs defensive back help. The void left by Trey Amos is going to be a big one because he was special this season. A Big Ten defensive back with years of experience might be, if not the best, one of the best defensive backs on the portal as well. Visiting Ole Miss, that's one that you don't want to let get out of Oxford without committing if they can help it. A trio of wide receivers have either visited this weekend or will soon. I think all of them have actually visited already. Dane Key from Kentucky. He's a big-bodied wide receiver. You guys are very familiar with him. You've got Deshaun Stribling from Oklahoma State. He caught 890 yards of passes this year on a bad team with, frankly, really bad quarterback play on top of it all. But he's a highly productive receiver. He can play on the outside just like Dane Key. And you need, although not so much as production, you need a replacement for Trey Harris and for Juice Wells. You need an outside receiver because right now all you've got, at least returning at a high-level production perspective, is Caden Lee, and he's on the inside. Most people assume that Cunningham's going to play a good bit. We'll have to see if the freshman can get ready. Apparently, Aiden Williams, as of this moment, not expected to hit the portal, so there's an option on the outside as well. But Key and Stribling, bigger wide receivers on the outside, highly, highly productive players at the Power Four level. And then, of course, Eric Singleton, the Georgia Tech transfer. He's more of an inside guy, kind of a burner, a track star for sure. A lot of people have talked about his price tag being considerably higher than most receivers. I assume Key and Stribling's is going to be high as well. But there comes a point with all these players that, financially they may not be worth it. We will have to see. If Ole Miss brought them in on visits, they clearly think that it's at least worth exploring. They need receiver help. And if they get even one of these three guys, that would be quality. But, man, if they can get one or multiple, especially if they can balance it out with Stribling and one of these two guys that would be more natural fit on the outside, then you've really got something there at wide receiver. And so that's your visitors for right now. Also, it just broke, quote-unquote broke, a second ago. A Texas linebacker transfer, I hope I'm saying his name correctly, Darian Gillette is supposedly visiting Mississippi State right now, but then will make the trek up to Oxford and then also North Carolina. He was a four-star in the 2023 recruiting class, and that's actually a good jumping-off point. So, again, those are your three portal players that Ole Miss picked up. Those are a handful of visitors that they have had over the weekend, and now there's apparently one more that's coming. they now have a need at linebacker. And for whatever it's worth, Gallette only had two tackles this season for Texas, only played in a couple of games, and it was on August 31st and September 14th. So I just learning about him tonight. I have no idea what his ceiling is or anything like that. But now we know Ole Miss needs linebacker. Linebacker portal recruiting is going to be paramount because Chris Paul Jr., Pooh Paul, has declared for the draft. Now, a lot of people reported that he was in conversations with the Grove Collective and that there was a chance that he was going to return. We talked about it right here on this show. All signs were pointing to, at the time, him returning to Ole Miss. That was real. The people that reported that were not inaccurate or making stuff up. There was conversations about him coming back. As I understand it, he got a really good draft grade, and one of those draft grades that you just can't ignore. It's too much money, frankly, to leave on the table if that grade comes to fruition. It's just too much money to leave on the table to risk returning to college for considerably less money than that. So it's a big loss for Ole Miss, but it's also a net gain for Ole Miss as well. He came in, he had an All-American type season, was a special player, and he can do what we talked about just a second ago. He was a good player at Arkansas, but he comes to Ole Miss and his draft stock dramatically improves. He has the best season of his career. His game took a big step forward, and now he's got a big-time draft grade, and he can be an early day two guy, possibly, if he tests well. That's a success story. That's a portal success story that Ole Miss can continue to sell to other players. When you come to Ole Miss to play for Pete Golding and this staff, especially on defense, look at what you can become. And Chris Paul is one of those. So I guess he's not going to play in the bowl game as well. And I understand that decision. I truly get it. That leaves a hole at linebacker next to Dottery, and Ole Miss is going to have to work hard in linebacker recruiting now to fill that hole adequately. So that is, good on him. He had a great year. And it just shows you, by the way, again, people talk in generalities about portal players because a lot of it is accurate. It's money-driven. Some of these guys are mercenaries. I understand all of those things. Not all of them. There is no way that you can describe Chris Paul's year at Ole Miss and his family's year at Ole Miss as they were just a one-year mercenary and all he cared about was money and he doesn't care about Ole Miss and he was just there to get paid and do nothing else. You can't say that about this player. And so when we speak in generalities about the state of college football, we have to also remind ourselves that there are a lot of Chris Pauls out there, guys that came into a new place that did care about their school, that did fall in love with the place, that did play for not just money, but for the people that took him in, right? Same thing with his family. So I understand the nature of the sport and how things work. I'm not naive, but I do look at guys like him and remember that when we speak in generalities, we're also putting labels on a guy like him that are not accurate. So whatever. And finally, Walter Nolan going to play in the bowl game. That is a surprising development to me. I figured that would be a clear, easy opt-out because even if his Grove Collective contract is backloaded, he's in line to make millions upon millions of dollars. And I know that they're going to be limited snaps. I know all of those things, but he's going to suit up and play one more time for Ole Miss. And I think that's cool. I know that. I understand the contract thing, but I think that Walter Nolan playing in this game is cool because he very easily could have opted out, and the money that he's about to receive, he won't miss whatever that final payment is, truly. And he probably could get an agent to subsidize that anyway. He had one of the most dominating seasons as a Ole Miss football player in the history of the program. It was unbelievable. And so getting to see him suit up again is a pretty cool thing, even if it's just for, 40 snaps or whatever it's going to be. So that is all that I've got for you. Let's get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs if you are in Mississippi. and you need office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, whatever it is. If it's technology, if it's in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, check them out, absms.com. Tell them I sent you. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. To the comments we go for the next few minutes. I see you're pulling out the AI images for your thumbnails. Edward, I wish I could describe to you how much time I have spent on the Twitter AI image generator. Oh, man, it's so funny. And, you know, it's unfortunate because I can't do it for state as well. I would use it for sports talk content. But AI doesn't, like, generate an image of Jeff Lebby, or at least it didn't when I tried. It would just be, like, some standard dude. So they're giving me, like, very clear Lane Kiffin pictures to work with, but nothing from Lebby. So I've only done Kiffin pictures, and so I can't turn that into show content really because it's only one-sided, but I've had so much fun with it. Oh my gosh. Farming Arkansas. That's what they're doing at this point. Need to get the Arkansas running back. I wouldn't be surprised if there's conversations for sure. I think that they're, I don't know this. I just would not be surprised at all if they try really hard to get Justice Haynes to give them a good look. And that's the kind of back that they need. Don't know if you remember me. I was deployed a few months back, finally back home. Jordan, glad to see you, man. Yes, thank you. And thank you for, of course, your service. And glad to see you again, man. Glad to see you. Welcome home. Love the amount of, quote, all this money to miss the playoff again stuff. Like, just because they went 9-3, they should give up on football. You know what that is, Edward? That is called copium. That is what that is. Yeah, Ole Miss spent a lot of money to go 9-3 this past season, and they did not make the playoff. What, I mean, exactly to your point, what should they do instead? Not spend any money and play worse? I mean, would you rather not spend what is necessary to build a competitive roster and not, on the second to last weekend of the season, have a game where you make the playoff if you're in? Would you rather not spend any money and not have those conversations at the end of the season about what you need to get into the playoff? I mean, you can spend less and not get portal players and not try really hard and not be in the mix for the playoffs. That's certainly a choice that you can make. Ole Miss should continue to try because they went 9-3. And yes, it is exclusively their fault. They did not play good enough offense at all in their three losses. They cost themselves a shot at the playoffs, but they were also this close. I mean, this close to making it. And so when you're that close, you have, you know, proof that what you're doing can get you there. Would you, what kind of mashed potato brain thinking is that where that is your, like, shot at them? Oh, you guys are going to try to build a competitive roster. It's just very, very message board brain is what that is. The Alabama running back was number 2 in his class, if you remember correctly. Let's see. I'm sure you're not wrong at all, but let's see. It's a really good player. That's for sure. Okay, here we go. As a recruit, he was the number 2 overall running back. You're exactly right. There you go. Need the Bama running back in Dane Key. Yeah, I think you're going to get some news on the receiver front over the next couple of days. Portal recruiting, it doesn't linger very much, right? You kind of have answers pretty quickly. I mean, guys, you know, they negotiate their deals. It's really kind of simple. There's not as much courting in games, I don't think, anyway. It doesn't feel like there is with regular recruiting. It doesn't last months. These guys kind of want to get their decision done so they can enroll in school. You got the holidays coming up. They want to enroll. They want to get their money. They want to start they want to move forward with their process. So I think you'll get some news this week. Man, thank you very much for the super chat. I appreciate you very, very much. And yes, Pat is late again. Pat is late again. Also, the Oklahoma State receiver. I am curious to see if they're able to get, if both of them is a possibility. I don't know. Maybe financially they have to be a little bit smarter than that. I don't know. I was not late. I was actually a few minutes early because we are 26 minutes into the show and it's 8:24. It was 2 minutes early. Poopall declaring was probably the right choice for him. I love you, Pat. But it looked like Ole Miss had a chance there. What a great player and a leader he was. There certainly were discussions. There's no doubt about that. It's probably the right choice. I mean, because you really can't play better than he did this season, right? I mean, he played so well. And, I mean, people are talking about possibly like a second-round draft grade. And if you get a second-round grade, I mean, you're looking at $6-plus million, right? $6 to $10 million. You can't say no to that. I know the Grove Collective pays well in their payments. Well, they always get paid. There is no over-promising and under-delivering. At least that's not their reputation. But they're not giving a linebacker $6 to $10 million either. So you say give Mr. Borky a like and subscribe. He's the best person talking Ole Miss. Well, I appreciate that. How about Jackson Arnold to Auburn and Van Buren to LSU? State needs a quarterback or else Lebby has a serious red flag on him. I mean, to tell you the truth, he already does. So now they're in on the Florida State transfer, the guy that was the five-star in last year's class. He started their last two games against an FCS opponent in Florida. Van Buren leaving, having started eight games for you and played well, to go to an interconference rival, knowing he's not going to be the starter, and replacing him with a guy that started only two games with Florida State's quarterback situation after missing Jackson Arnold, who they said, it was assumed that he was a lock to State because he's Lebby's guy. Optically, that's a really tough look. A guy that started eight games for you is willing to go to LSU knowing he's not going to be the starter, when he could have beat out Chapin and been the starter on this year's team. Played eight games, played well, and you bring in a Florida State transfer and miss on. I mean, just the optics of the whole situation, regardless if the Florida State kid goes to them or not, is optically it's not good. Anybody being honest is telling you that the optics of how the quarterback situation played out are not good. Looks like Freeze has hitched his job onto the shoulders of Arnold. Yeah, and I did see a lot of, well, Hugh Freeze can unlock Jackson Arnold's talent, and, you know, maybe he can, but when Hugh Freeze develops a quarterback, I think that he has not earned this reputation as a quarterback whisperer. Peyton Thorne did not get any better. He didn't get any better at all. I don't understand where that's coming from. I'm not surprised that Ole Miss is going for younger guys in the portal this year compared to one-year rentals. I know there will be more kids hopping in the portal, but looks like the focus is on young guys. That's a good question. That's always kind of been something that they've wanted to do, right? That when you have a guy like a Walter Nolan who's only going to be there for 1 year, you go get a guy like Walter Nolan. But if you look at their transfers over the years, Trey Harris was a multi-year guy, Watkins, multi-year guy. That's really how they've wanted to do it. Ivy, Pegues, multi-year guys. That Saunders, multi-year guy. That's more of what they – Daughtery, multi-year guy. Kari Coleman, multi-year guy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It seems like that's more of what they've wanted to do than get the one-year guys, is to get the multi-year guys. And I don't think that the high-level talent is in the portal yet the way it was last year at the end. There isn't a Walter Nolan in the portal yet, or anybody really close to him at the moment. So I think the talent pool at the present is not as strong. believe I need to work on the pronunciation of which one. I probably butchered them all. probably ruined them all. And the portal this year isn't highly rated, even as last year. Look, you and me, same brain. I love this. But at the same time, their high school classes have been better under Kiffin. It balances out. Absolutely. Especially like on the defensive line, right? Because Ole Miss loses Ivy, Pegues, Nolan, Umanmielen, right? And I switch between man and mon. I know. I'm an idiot, guys. I don't know why you're here. But I don't think at the moment it feels like they're as desperate to just bring in as many defensive linemen as possible because you have Xavien Harris there, for example. You have Echols. You have Franklin. They signed four or five-star defensive linemen in last year's recruiting class. Those guys are now either redshirt freshmen or sophomores. So if they believe in what they recruited, they are less desperate in the portal, which can be hit or miss depending on who gets in and who doesn't. So if they believe in those guys, then they're in good shape, right? So signing the recruiting classes that they've had over the last couple of years, they're always going to use the portal because they're so good at it. I say always. I mean, maybe the rules change down the road, but they're going to use the portal. But they don't need to be as desperate because of the improvement they've made in high school classes. You're exactly right. Was pretty surprised when he saw Walter Nolan said he's playing in the bowl game. I was too, but I do like it. I know the contracts. I don't care. A guy like Nolan could easily opt out, and it would not be a thing. Him taking any snaps at all, I think, is a cool thing. Very curious to see how fans engage with bowls this season. I think bowls may be in serious trouble in the coming years. See, the only way that the bowl system becomes in danger of going away is if you stop watching on television. In-game attendance won't matter much. They are for TV production. So as long as people keep watching them, and if the ratings trend continues, they will get watched. They'll continue to exist. They are for television. That's all they're for. I think we need a 10-game regular season of conference games only and a massive playoff that features games on college campuses. I wouldn't hate that at all. I mean, at the FCS level, they don't do conference championships. And they have 22 or 23 fewer scholarship players, and it's about to be a lot less because the FBS level is going up to 105 or whatever it is. So, yeah. You say the SEC would eat itself alive? It would, because all conferences aren't created equal. If he's the best running back, would he only play sparingly? Yeah. Oh, boy. There are still so many questions about how the running back room was handled. I mean, from all of it, right? Not even just Bentley. Like, everybody focused on Bentley, and so did I. I understand why. But, like, Parrish was used like he was Derrick Henry, and he's not. And a massive misevaluation on Amos, and just the whole situation has too many questions and not enough answers. Still waiting to see what they do on staff changes. Surely they're not just going to run this back the same way. I still expect, I don't have this sourced. I expect staff changes in one way or another. If anyone leaves, it'll be Lane to the NFL. I don't think you have to worry about that. I do not think you have to worry about that. How many wide receivers do I think Ole Miss should portal in? Ooh. I mean, at least three. Because, again, I know that they brought in, they have good high school receivers coming in. It's not just Cunningham, it's multiple. And Caden Lee's back. And, I mean, the word right now is Aiden Williams is not going anywhere. So he's back, and, you know, they still have a couple of guys from last year's portal haul that are there, but you can't expect freshmen. You can't put all your eggs in a freshman basket, right? So I think that they need three to four, three to five. Portal has not been the issue for Ole Miss, really, outside of offensive line. The issue is coaching, primarily in situational spots like fourth downs and red zone. Offense has been the entire issue. They were awful in situational football this year. You're absolutely right. You just don't believe you can build a great O-line through the portal, at least not on one-year rentals, which I do think, for example, like if Williams and Pounds are both back, that helps. You need as much – I think continuity is such a big thing for them. So, look, they're still portaling guys. They've added two already, one of which has a ton of SEC experience. They're in on a couple more as well. But I refuse to believe that – it was the portal that gave that. It was just the portal that gave them their issues on the offensive line. They returned four of five starters from the previous year as well, right? And they got worse. They regressed. They returned four or five starters and then added four portal players, two of which from the offensive line that played in the national championship, and they got worse. That's not just portal issues. There's something else going on there. Need a new OC. You've said it for a year and a half. You have been in here on that. I think that of all the stats, I don't think that that is a change that's going to happen. But the Saints are horrible. Who do they get for their coach? Quarterback in the first round? I do not think they will draft a quarterback in the first round. I think they're going to stick with Carr and Rattler. I'm afraid that they're just going to promote Darren Rizzi and just keep running it back this way. I know the team loves him, but I think they need a full organizational reset. Bring back Matt Luke. That will not happen. That will not happen. Thoughts on Travis Hunter winning the Heisman? I know that's a bit controversial. I know. The award is for the most outstanding player in college football. That's what the award is for. Genty's great. Had an elite season. He's an outstanding player. One of the best seasons at his position in the history of the sport. Is what he did more outstanding than what Travis Hunter did this season, playing both sides at the ball at the level in which he did? My vote would have been for Travis Hunter. It's the most outstanding player in college football. He is the most outstanding player in college football. Should he have won the Biletnikoff? No, he should not have. But he is the most outstanding player in college football. Genty would have been my number two. Greetings from New Jersey. Wow, glad to see you. If they bring in more running backs, you think they'll actually use them? You'll keep saying it. It's nothing but good for Ole Miss beating up on Duke in the bowl game. It's a program momentum game. Winning games is better than losing, absolutely. And then my mouse just died. Oh, no. Oh, well. That's so funny. My mouse just died. Winning games, yes, I agree with you. And then that's three double-digit win seasons in 4 years. It's sustainability. It's proof of concept. All of those buzz phrases that are absolutely true. Brandon, thank you for the super chat, man. Check them out. PTG Outdoors, by the way. Check them out. Brandon, I got to get with you about my my idea, by the way. I got to do that. Don't let me forget to do that. You would sit out if you're a Pegues. He needs to get healthy. Played hurt all year. Hats off to the mayor. Yeah, I would love to know what the status of his injury is for sure. I do think that there's a real chance that you're going to get an opportunity to see a lot of the future in this game. I know Jackson Dart is a few yards away from his record. I think it would be a really cool thing. Now, look, you've got to get a lead first. Duke is not just going to show up and lay down for you. But once you get Jackson Dart's record, to have like a send-off where you call a timeout, you leave the team on the field, right, and you get him to come out and Austin Simmons come in, kind of like a passing of the torch situation where the record-breaking quarterback gets his final, like, salute. And then, you know what I mean? That would kind of be a cool moment. It's one of those sports things. But I do think you're going to get a good look. You're going to get a good look at the defensive line. At least I think you should and will. some of these young guys getting extended playing time in this game, and you're going to kind of see what they've got there. I'm excited about watching those guys to see how ready they are to take over for the guys in front of them. Looks like based on bull prep pictures from the football accounts that Prescorn and Pegues are playing, they're going to be as close to full strength as a team can be for a bowl game, it seems. So I think it would be cool for bowl games to add some sort of combine-style event with NFL scouts as part of the festivities to get draft prospects more exposure. That's interesting. That is interesting. Although the Senior Bowl is not too terribly far away. Justice Haynes is 100% crystal ball to Ole Miss. Who put it in? Who put it in? Because I think that I could be wrong. I could very well be wrong. He could show up and not leave Ole Miss, but I do think that it might be a battle for him. Instead of doing what is required to compete, you can just be LSU and go 8-4 with a coach you can't get rid of. No kidding. People bringing up the 9-3 thing just want them to become Arkansas. I mean, seriously, and you know where it's coming from. It's coming from Arkansas people and Mississippi State people. Arkansas is as boring as a program could possibly be and not anywhere close to being competitive, and all of their best players are going somewhere else. And Mississippi State just went 2-10. The top portal targets, the ones that we talked about earlier, the trio of wide receivers. I think that linebacker recruiting is about to pick up, and it needs to for sure. Justice Haynes, I assume they're going to be really heavy in on. The offensive lineman from Bowling Green, the tackle. They've got film on him playing against Penn State, who's got one of the best defensive fronts in the sport. So you could really look at that and see what you've got there as well. The situation with the Arkansas running back was weird. Another highlight of the mess inside their football program. No kidding. You know what would really stop some of this is if the NCAA got smart and came up with an agent registry situation the same way that the NFL does. Allow the players to have real agents, but have them meet the requirements that the NFL agents have to meet, have to have a certain degree, certain education level, certain certification, can only take a certain amount of money, that kind of stuff. That's what college needs. That would slow down a lot of this craziness too, as if you had real agents acting actually in the best interest of the players that they represent instead of whatever BS that you've got going on in college. How many years are left on Lane's contract? As many as he wants, as long as he keeps winning. Six, though. Four through the state and two through the foundation. Me and you in a steel cage match to determine who's late. Pat, aren't you ex-military? I want nothing to do with that. I want nothing to do with that. No, sir. No, sir. Georgia Tech wide receiver Singleton rumored to be asking for $2 million. Maybe somebody gives that to him. He's a really, really, really good player. I don't think that you can spend that much money on one receiver. Could you give me a short explanation on how this pay sharing works? I'm not sure what it's called. Revenue sharing. Yes, I can, because there's a lot of incorrect misinformation in this state about revenue sharing and whatnot. So there was a lawsuit and a settlement. And the settlement, commonly referred to as the house settlement, what it does is it allows schools to share up to a certain amount of money of their revenue with their athletes. The pay distribution is going to be, depending on the place, like 85% to football, 10% to men's basketball, 5% to the rest. Because football, men's basketball makes all the money. They generate the revenue. They get the share of the revenue. What people, or at least some people in this state, are getting wrong, it's not a percentage of your school's athletic budget. It is a number that is capped across the board. So every school, if they opt in, pays the same amount in revenue sharing as every other school. It's the same number. It's going to start like at $20 million and then increase by 4% over the next few years. So it'll grow some, but right now it's about $20 million, roughly. It should get finalized this summer. And so what that means, and every school has to fund their revenue sharing account. Most schools are doing it through their revenue or directing money from university donations to fund that amount of money. Some schools, or one in particular, is soliciting donations to their revenue sharing fund, and they are not, the school is not paying to it themselves. As I understand it, Ole Miss is using department revenue and funds like that to pay their revenue sharing. It's all the same amount. Texas's budget is double that of Mississippi State's, right? But they both are only allowed to spend a capped amount to their players in revenue sharing. Collectives will continue to exist as long as they are legally allowed to, and judges have said they are, until there's collective bargaining or an employee-employer agreement, and that has not happened yet. So everybody will have the same amount in revenue sharing, at least in the SEC and the Big Ten. What will separate programs still will be what they can pay in NIL. So the Grove Collective still matters. Texas's collective still matters. Because do you think that Texas and Georgia are going to sit back and say, hey, we can only spend $20 million on revenue sharing, so can Vanderbilt. We might as well not do anything more. Let's just only spend this much and let everybody else in our conference be equal. Of course not. So the schools have up to $20 million that they can spend, and then whatever your collective has can separate you from your peers within the league. Why don't I start a call-in show? I don't have the technology to take calls. That's all. Any news on Otis? I would not expect he goes to Ole Miss. The financial ask compared to the production just isn't there. Just isn't there. The only thing I hate about the portal is now with the situation like the Penn State backup quarterback. Penn State's about to play a playoff run without their quarterback in a red shirt. That's terrible. Yeah, and he straight up said it's only because like he wants to stay with Penn State, but he can't engage in the portal process and also play. Bowl system will survive because of the last checks coming after the bowl game is played. Rev share is the only way to make that happen. And collectives can also do what the Grove Collective has done and backload them as well. If the 23 and 24 teams lined up across from one another, who am I taking to win? Both fully healthy with a playoff bid on the line. I know one is much more clutch than the other. I'm taking the 24 team to win because of the defense. Ole Miss is just so much better this year on the defensive in the front six than they were a year ago. You'd rather have Joe Judge as OC? Joe Judge has probably got it pretty good, if you think about it. Got a lot of money. His kid plays on the team. Just chilling. Is Austin Simmons going to play baseball? No, he is not. Back to the receiver room. Where's Aiden and Noriel? Can we not develop wide receivers? That has been a knock, for sure, is the lack of high school receivers and utilizing them. But then there's Caden Lee, right? You know, maybe some guys, it just takes a little while to get there. And frankly, they don't rotate. They don't play a lot of receivers at all. They never have under Kiffin. It's usually just been like three or four guys is really who they've played. So a lot of it. What I would give to have Matt Luke back as O-line coach, you would have to go back in time and eliminate how things went down as when he was the head coach. That's what you would have to give. Need a fullback if they're going to continue to run small running backs. Well, looks like they are trying to change the size of that room. If they return the entire staff, you cannot in good conscience predict them to make a run at competing for a playoff spot next year. I agree. And so does Brandon, 8-4, 9-3, if everyone comes back. They at least need to make material changes on how they approach certain things offensively. Travis Hunter is very good at two positions, not great at everything. I disagree. I think that he's actually an elite defensive back. I think he's a very good wide receiver. I think he's an elite corner. The data says the Heisman's popularity contest. Honestly, it's kind of shocking. He won it with Colorado, but I imagine Coach Prime brought enough popularity to surpass Colorado's lack of success. He is special. He is unique. You think an Ole Miss will be 18 in the basketball poll? Yes, my idea is about the boat punishment. Yep. It's funny how we can say the program, their program building concept works, yet the season ultimately failed. But again, it's about the consistency. Absolutely. It's not getting there once. It's getting there all the time, because eventually you're going to break through. You see that happen like on the PGA Tour. You hear so often, like, guys, you know, they finished second here and second here, and you just knew eventually he was going to break through. How many times do you put yourself in the position to get there? Because if you keep putting yourself in that position, eventually the ball is going to bounce your way and you're going to get there. The whole all in, chips in the middle, everything after this, it doesn't matter thing is interesting, but that's clearly not how they did it. Instead, it's continue to put yourself in that position as much as you possibly can, because when you do that, you will get there. And once you break through, it changes things. Ole Miss's issue in the past couple of years has been being under-talented in the interior. This year it was coaching. I think you have 1 year to replace a production on offense, reload D-line, and fix coaching. Imagine you get one last time to run it before Golding is a head coach somewhere. As I understand it, it would take a pretty significant job to lure Pete Golding away from Ole Miss. I expect him to be, whenever Lane goes, if it's 1 year or 5 years from now, I expect Pete to be on the very short list to be his replacement. In fact, I would bet on it today. And so he's already making over $2 million. He's a top five paid coordinator in the country. I assume he's going to get another pay bump. Being where he is now probably gives him the best opportunity to be an SEC head coach, which I assume is the ultimate goal. If you up and leave to take like the Georgia Southern gig, what happens if, you know, you go 7-5 and 6-6 and then Lane leaves and suddenly you're not as attractive of a name, right? So I would be surprised. It would take a significant job for him to leave. 24/7 saying Ole Miss got Eric Singleton. When will that happen? I do not know. I simply don't know if that's true or not. Not disputing them. I haven't seen that. I don't know if it's happening. If they get him, it means that they really are going to invest in him. So you think Ole Miss would bump him another 3.5 mil to keep him and he'd be tied for the highest paid at that point? Or another 350,000, not 3.5 mil? That's much better than giving him an additional $3.5 million for sure. But yeah, I think he's due for that kind of a raise. He's earned every single penny, both on the field and in recruiting. Basketball looked pretty good yesterday. Had a meh first half, but lit up USM in the second half to a 30-point win. Padula continues to shine. And that's without Matt Morrell, who, if you guys watched the Beater interview, said that, you know, he's essentially day-to-day, that he would play if it was better competition. So I think Lane's a really good coach, but you think Golding is the straw stirring the drink? Entirely different football team since he arrived, especially the trophy-winning side of the ball. Yeah. You give Lane the credit for hiring him, but Golding has been the forefront for their success in the last 2 years. You think Kiffin needs to change some of his tactics offensively? Like good play callers, I think Kiffin can fall in love with his own creativity, forgets you can't go broke, taking a profit, steady offense, good D and limiting turnovers is still how you fill a trophy case. It's another one. The only games you can say they won with offense since 2023 were Penn State, A&M, and arguably Penn State. None this year unless you count Arkansas. Definitely count Arkansas. And honestly, I know they didn't score a whole ton of points, but I do think that their plan offensively against Georgia was very good. That was a very well-called game. against Georgia, I think. That's a really good Georgia team now. Golding, Joyner, and Arnett were great this year. Absolutely, they were. Thank you. Thank you for the super chat. Yeah, not change the curtain rod, but you say let the curtain rod collective pay for the call-in tech. It's something that I certainly am going to explore for sure. I have to do some studio upgrading if I'm going to do something like that. But I might reach out to some people and see what that looks like. But thank you, man. Thank you very much. As shell-shocked as he was by a job he wasn't ready for, it's no debate that Arnett is a hell of a defensive football coach. That was a big-time staff addition. Absolutely. Who's the backup quarterback for next season? I don't think he's on the team yet. I do not think he's on the team yet. Golding is one of the closest type defensive coaches to what Kirby Smart was. Not saying he's the next Kirby, but I mean when he was the DC at Alabama. Absolutely. When Pittman is fired, maybe he comes coach the offensive line. I think when Pittman is fired, he will retire. The AI picture of Lane with the pig is hilarious. Yeah, he's saving him from the barn fire that is Fayetteville. Let's all give a dollar for the call-in show. No, please don't do that. You already contribute enough. Just watching what you do, and thank you. It's completely unnecessary, but thank you. It is just watching and liking is all you need to do. That is all you need to do. Do I think the Realtree people need to get permission from Nike to do more than one helmet game per year? I believe that is accurate. I believe that is accurate. What does Sam Pittman have on the brass at Arkansas? I do not understand their thought process and decision-making there. I truly don't understand it. Pat, thank you for the super chat. Ready for the steel cage match? No, you're ex-military. No, I'm not doing it. As long as there are no red helmets, I'm fine with the Realtree stuff. It is very good. It's very good for the brand. Who are the Ole Miss NIL donors? Oh, gosh. There's a lot. There's a whole lot. The heavy hitters, I don't think. Just naming big donors, I don't think is something that they want. So there's a lot of them, though. There's a whole lot of them. And yes, I agree. The first Realtree helmet was better. It was better, for sure. I got to run, guys. Thank you so much, as always, for being here, being a part of this. You are the absolute best, Pat. And of course, PTG Outdoors. Brandon, check them out, by the way. PTG Outdoors. They're in Grenada. ProTeamGuides.com is the website. I've got some stickers on my cooler now, by the way, Brandon. Forgot to tell you about that. But check them out, ProTeamGuides.com, and I'm gonna make the guys there take me crappie fishing one day as well, and the little guy, he's got to come with us. He loves fishing. So anyway, you guys are the best. Thank you so much. Again, check them out, PTGOutdoors.com. Of course, our presenting sponsor, DJ Gregory Law Firm, and also Advantage Business Systems and Priority One Bank. But more importantly, all of you guys for being here. We'll be back Tuesday. A lot of movement between now and then, no doubt. I'll see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.